Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Well, I'm now the oldest person to have stepped foot on the platform this morning. Let's hear it. Thank you very much. Where's Chris? Keep encouraging me. Thank you, Charles. Send the fire. Okay. Chris, you're a blessing. Just button it, all right? Right. This morning, I just need to warn you first, before we get into the message, that after you've heard the message for the next 20, 25 minutes, you're going to owe me something. Is that okay? I'll explain what I mean. It's in the book of Mark, chapter 4, it says there's a field. Say, I'm a field. God's about to sow something into your spirit. He's about to revive something in your heart. He's about to remind you of something in between your ears. Okay, that's this bit up here. But it says in Mark 4:28, all by itself. Say all by itself. The soil produces. Okay, so I'm going to sow something. I'm going to water something by the spirit of faith that's operating, praise the Lord. But then you're going to owe me something. Is that all right? You're going to owe me 30, 60 or 100 fold. Is that okay? So we had some great testimonies today. For those of you here for the first time, great to see you. We believe that Jesus listens. We know that if Jesus hears us as a Christian, we know that we ask for something, we get it. So the blue cards, we just know we're going to get answers to these needs. It's a field of need. And when you begin to trust and reach out with that confidence with God, those ones change to those ones. And these become the result of our seed. So in other words, those blue ones owed us these ones. Are you still with me? Sorry if you're colorblind. The ones in this hand are orange. The ones in that hand are blue. But these owed us something. When we began to pray last week, believe God, sow the seed, I was expecting, right, God, you owe me something now. Come on, I've sown something. I believe God. I've spoken the word. I've agreed with the faith of the house. I've released my prayer out of my heart. These blue ones, you owe me something. At least you've got to change. At the very least, you've got to come in line with what we've sown. And that's why we have these. So the warning is this. I'm about to bring you a message, and next week you're going to owe me something. In your bank balance, in your testimony, in your story, in the miracles God has done in your life, you're going to owe me something. Are you still ready? Over here, Chris, you're a good chap. So 30-fold, I believe, is just going to be a normal kind of week. But I'm believing for 60 to 100-fold that you're going to owe me. Is that all right? So next week, there's going to be stories of your friends getting saved, people getting healed, you getting saved, you getting healed, people providing for you, you having hope restored, you having depression released from you. I'm believing that your field begins to owe something. So I'm looking forward to next week already. I'm just trying to butter you up a little bit. As you probably have gathered, most of the other guys are out ministering or holidaying or doing stuff. But there's enough of us here to make a difference to someone's world. Is that right? As a Christian, I believe it's not what you know, but who you know. We sang a song earlier. God is for us. Is that right? Okay. Some of you may not know this God. Whether you do or you don't, he's still for you. I don't want anybody leaving this place this morning thinking, oh, God's getting on my case, he hates me, he thinks I'm this, that and the other. No, God is 100% for you. Amen. He's totally there for you. All we have to do is put ourselves into a place of debt. I can't do anything. I need to receive everything that you have done this morning, Lord. We've got to put ourselves in a place where we can't do anything. We allow God to do it all for us. Are you still with me here? So we're a field. God's going to sow. We're going to look at the book of John. Okay, in my Bible, it's on page 895. I'm not actually looking at the truth version this morning. I looked at it this morning. It's brilliant. But I only want to look at a little bit of John chapter 1, verse 1. So I'll give you a couple of moments to find it. While you're doing that, Church in the Park, Janet and I are going to be hosting that later, so it'd be great to see you. Bring a board game. That's not a game that you're bored with. It's a game that you like to play. That's as good as it gets. I'm really sorry. But bring a game, bring some grub, some food, and bring a good attitude, and we'll have a couple of hours of fun down in the park. Is that right? Have you found John yet? If you're on the stream and you can have a flight over and arrive before 1 o'clock, that'd be great. We'll come on the ferry. John chapter 1, what's the first word? In. Okay, let's just hold there a moment, because one of the things which I think is crucial for us to understand about how we can expect our field to grow is that as a Christian, God doesn't live out, he lives in. Jesus isn't a God who just wants to live outside of our lives and outside of our circumstances, and he doesn't want to live outside of where we're going or where we've been. He wants to be right in. Say in. Not only is he right in, he's in right at the beginning. God, I found Jesus is someone who's there right at the beginning and he's there right at the end. I've never known anybody else at all so interested to be there before I've started, to be there after I finish what I'm doing. I love the fact that John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I haven't just got a concept or a philosophy or a program. I haven't just got a structure in me. I've got someone in me.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I remember when I gave my life to Christ in 1986, my beginning began. Everything changed. Circumstances changed. My field changed from one of barrenness into one of potential fruitfulness. And so did yours if you know Christ this morning. I like that. How many of you like that? If you're with me, feel you're a good man. Through him all things were made. I love this concept as well, that the one who lives in me makes things. He kind of makes things happen. He makes opportunities arise. He makes us different. He makes us have a different outlook on life. He makes opportunities open for us where there would be no opportunities. He makes us bold and very courageous. He makes us healthy. He makes us whole. He makes us holy. This one who's in, right at the beginning, makes us something. I think that's kind of interesting too. If you look around society today, you can get options, alternatives on almost everything. But Jesus doesn't want to come as an alternative. He wants to totally change and radically transform our lives. He wants to make us into people that we can never be without him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word made things. With him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. In him was life. Aren't you pleased if you know Christ this morning? When you woke up, life woke up with you. I'm very glad that Sunday doesn't make my life complete. My life makes Sunday complete. You might be surprised by that. You might be someone who just loves God on a Sunday. I really don't know. Maybe you can manage Monday to Wednesday, but Thursday, Friday, it's like a bit iffy. I don't know, but what I do know is Jesus wants you to make your day. I look forward to Mondays. How many of you look forward to Mondays? Yeah, come on. I love Mondays. I love Mondays because there's a potential for this in life to be expressed through my life. I love Mondays. I love Tuesdays. Wednesdays are interesting. I love Thursdays. I love Fridays. I love Saturdays. But I love Sundays the most. Why? Because I believe Sundays is when we meet up to express this life in a particular kind of way. The Word was life. And that life is also light. I love it. Do you love this? As a Christian, God switches a light on first. I mean, sometimes we're a bit dense. I know, sometimes I'm a bit dense. Yeah, so you all laugh at that one. Thanks very much. Sometimes sometimes I'm really stupid. Everybody said, yeah, thanks. What I mean by that is, there are some things which I'm not supposed to work out. There are some things that I am supposed to work out but not do. But mostly there's stuff that I just shouldn't do. I just let God tell me. Let God show me. Let God put the light on. One of the first things that God wants to do before you come to know him is switch the light on your life. I like that. God is so caring, he doesn't fumble around in our lives in the dark. Let's have a little poke here and move that a bit and change that a bit and have a bit of a go at this and tweak that. No, he switches the light on first. I believe God's switching the light on now to people sitting in this room. And sometimes you might think, oh my God, how can God love someone like me? I really don't know, but I know he loved me. I know his word says that while we were powerless, while we had every reason under the sun not to be loved, God still chose to love me. I believe right now, part of what you're owing me is your life. Because if you don't know Christ this morning, God is here for you to get to know him. You owe me a life. Amen. I'm looking forward to reaping some lives in a little while. Because this life switches the light on and suddenly it's like, there's a hope. I want to come and live inside you. I want to come and make something out of you. I want to come and make you more than you can ever be, ever dream, ever hope for. I want to come and make you someone that is successful, not just make do, but a winner. He's got to switch the light on first. Oh, I'm hearing this. Well, this is good. I like this. Here's another, some other words. I did a bit of a word search on the word in. All right, first word is inception. Oh, look at that. Power. Inception. This one in you wants to birth something. He wants to originate something and be the origin of it. He wants to start something. This morning, this Sunday, I can't remember the date, who cares? This Sunday, God wants to start something in you, in your field. He wants to start something. He wants to birth something. He's our incentive. It's great, isn't it? What's that about? It's impetus. What's impetus? It's movement. When Jesus came, he didn't come to die for a monument. He came for a movement. Jesus didn't come to make me someone that stands and just looks at God, but he wants me to walk and live with God. Impetus. The one in you brings impetus. It might be some of you, whether you know Christ or not, you're feeling a bit flat, a little bit deflated. Well, let me know, the one in you wants to put impetus back into your spirit, back into your life. A bit of get up and go, not got up and gone kind of attitude. Oh, hallelujah. The next one is inclusive. God is the all-in God. You get all of him. God, that's mind-blowing. Amen. That's right. When he said yes to Christ, just the same as I did, just the same as millions of people have done over the generations, when I received Christ, I received every part of him. Amen. God, it's blowing my mind. Inclusive. There is no other God who is alive today than Jesus Christ. He's living. He's inclusive. Why? He wants to own me. He wants to own us. It says that we're like a diadem. We're like the biggest jewel in the biggest crown on the head that is the biggest. God is a big head. It's true. I believe part of the church is that we are to show the big head off. It says in Isaiah, we're for the display of his splendor. Part of my role, part of our role as church is to spend 7 days a week showing off the big head. Oh, hallelujah. So you'll soon get into it. They told me to finish tomorrow morning. The next is income. James, you're doing a great job. Income is gains and revenue. The field of our lives will only ever produce when Christ is in the center of them. This is why we can sing, O barren woman. This is why we can stretch out. This is why we can enlarge the place of our tent. Because there's an income, there is a gain to be had when Christ lives in our lives. And a revenue. I kind of see it a little bit like this. I can never outgive God. You know that's true? But I'm going to try. Okay, you missed that one. You can't outgive God, but I'm going to have a go. Be generous on all occasions. I want to give time, give energy, give myself, give my finances, give my spirit into the one who produces revenue. I want God to owe me something. Why? Because God always pays debts. Are you still kind of following this? I want you tomorrow morning to get up Monday and say, come on, God, you said that so-and-so is going to happen, this miracle is going to happen, that person's going to get saved, that person's going to get touched. You owe me something today, oh God. But you are my income and you're my revenue, so make it happen. I want you to get up on Tuesday and say, well, if it didn't happen yesterday, it's going to happen today. Because you're my impetus.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Next one is incomparable. I almost didn't say that. That is even spelled correctly. Well done. Matchless and supreme. I think it's brilliant that Christians are odd people. I'll tell you, if you don't believe that, we need to swap places. Christ is incomparable. Who compares to our God? Who is like you, O Lord? I'll give you a clue. No one. Where can I go for the answers? Nowhere. Who can I trust in with my entire life? Nobody apart from him. There is no one else like Jesus Christ today. And there won't be anybody like Jesus Christ tomorrow or the day after either. Because he's incomparable, he's matchless, he's supreme. This is all coming out of in. You might have got the point of that. If you're sitting there as an English student, don't check the typing, all right? Because I think it's right. Next one is increase. Increase. What does that mean? The one who lives in a Christian wants them to advance. Wants them to amplify. I got kind of a funny joke. I think it's funny, but I'm an old guy. I've got a Bible here, and I kind of read it. La, 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 la. Just do that. But then I say, I've got an amplified version. La, 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 la. Do you like that? Sorry. I'm in such trouble now. That's my amplifier. The church picnic will just be hosted by me this afternoon. That's my amplified version. And sometimes God's got to shout at us because we are a bit dumb. But I can guarantee that the one who's in us would have whispered it first. In the body of Christ, I love church. I love church because it's the safest field to bring up family, marriages, parenting. Why? Because you'll always hear a voice from within the church. Bit of wisdom, bit of insight. If we don't listen to it, God will go, come on, sort it out. That's the amplified version. Do you understand? That's why I love church. That's why I believe church is the place that's going to change society as we know it. Because we've got the impetus, we've got the incomparable, we've got the increase, we've got the next one, the indescribable. We've got that one up there, well done. We've got the indisputable up there. It's not a game of Scrabble, we're all right. Indisputable is absolute, beyond any doubt. Let me tell you right now that Jesus is beyond any doubt today. And again, I'm expecting a return from you. You're going to owe me stuff. Why? Because I have no doubt that he who was sown generously will also reap generously. So over these next 7 days, I'm expecting all you guys to get hold of us some impetus, to see some gains in revenue, to see some supreme acts of God, if you like, in the very normality of our life. How many of you know normal plus supreme equals extraordinary? Yeah. This one I can only just say. Indubitably. That's it. What does that say? Well done. Give yourself a pat on the back. This is also in us. It means certain. I believe we need to remind ourselves as Christians, and I believe even those of you here that maybe don't know Christ yet, you can walk your life with a sureness and a certainty when you know the indubitable one lives in you. There is no fear that will scare him off. There's no sickness that he hasn't got the answer to. There's no army that comes against him that he's likely to run the other way. There's no condition of our lives that he will turn his back on. Jesus is amazing. There is no situation within our lives that he will not come in and resolve it and change it totally and permanently. He's indubitable. There you go. I'm glad I only typed these. Next one, similar kind of word, is infallible. How many of you know that that's not us? Everybody, every hand should have been up there, otherwise there is a lying spirit in the house. How many of you know that that's not us? Okay. How many of you know it doesn't matter, providing in the field of our lives we let the infallible one grow something? In the sense that we let the faultless and the dependable one tell us what to do, tell us how to get there, and tell us what to do when we arrive. As we let the infallible one speak into our hearts and into our lives, I'm utterly amazed at some of the things Jesus says to me sometimes. But every single time he says something, you can bank your life on it. Just love him. It's true. So do I, mate. I'm going to miss... This one is just for Chris. Infectious. I believe as Christians... Now, this is where you've got to kind of listen to what I'm saying. You've got a terrible terminal disease. It's called life. There is something in a Christian's life that is contagious. It's terminal. It's deadly. It's the kind of life that when you see need, the life will reach out and touch it and change it. When you see someone that needs a miracle, you're going to reach out and bring a miracle into that situation. I believe when Christians are around, sickness is in trouble. Cancer is in trouble. Terminal diseases are in trouble. Because when a Christian is around, there is something infectious about what is in a Christian's life. Hallelujah. Man, you're dangerous. You're a danger to society. Because as we begin to live... Some of you are saying, yeah, you're married to... But some of you are really dangerous to society. In the sense that when you read the newspapers or when you see the TV or watch stuff on the internet, you're going to have another view on the inside of you. And that view is infectious. That view comes out of the field of your life. Hallelujah. When you see stuff about young people or older people or single people or divorce rates or abortions, there's something infectious that comes out of your spirit, out of your field. Man, we got to sit, reproduce 30, 60, 100 fold. Hallelujah. We're going to do that in a moment, actually. Some of you are going to get set free in a little while. By the time we're done, you're going to owe me some freedom. By the time we're done, you're going to owe me some miracles. God's going to move in his miracle power in about 10 or 15 minutes now, so get ready. Thanks for that. I'll just keep going until we do. This life is catching. Just touch the person next to you. That's nice, isn't it? That's it. Just touch. That's it. Just don't slap them. Just touch them. Don't check their wallet or anything. That's really rude. Just touch them. Now, something interesting there, isn't there? Because Whether you wanted to do that or not, someone's just touched your life, haven't they? Sorry, Charles, am I keeping you up? If you've just reached out, you've just touched someone's life, is that right? But that also means their life has touched yours, is that right? That's why in 1 John, which is the equivalent version of this, it says, what we have seen and heard and what has touched our lives, it's that we touch you. I want to touch you with some infection this morning. I want to touch you with a disease, hallelujah, called life. I want to touch you with something contagious. Which is why not? I love it for all of you guys to leave this house this morning with a why not attitude. Come on, why not? There's a whole... All right. Is that you get caught, you get contaged. Just made up a word there. That's a brilliant word, contaged. I've been contaged. Contaminated. Connie Squires, he's a good guy, works with kids. You get contaminated with this disease. Something within the field of your life right now. Can you feel it? It's kind of bubbling up a little bit. Okay, it's just three of us. Is there anybody else apart from me and Charles? And is anybody else kind of just on the inside of you? It's like, oh, hello, something's happening. Just give us a wave. Right. What's happening is I'm watering the seed that's in your field and I'm demanding that you owe me something. You're going to have to respond. Even if it's just... Even if, whatever it is. No, don't do that. Next one is infinite. It's almost like a word of knowledge, isn't it? It's like I'm thinking it. He's putting it up. It's incredible. Limitless and perpetual. How many of you are kind of scientists? Scientific. Okay. I'm about to embarrass myself. It is my understanding that no scientist has ever invented a process called perpetual motion. Have you heard of perpetual motion? That's where the rotating or the inertia produced by a moved object creates enough energy to keep that object moving without any other energy being added to it. Check me out. I just made that up. No, that's absolutely true. It's a method or it's a formula or it's an engineering process whereby rotating object or a moving object generates enough energy in and of itself to energize itself with no exterior energy added to it. It's right, isn't it? Please, scientists, say yes. Just say yes to humour me. You can tell me off later, okay? I'll just look a book. Okay, I'm an engineer, so I know that's true. What that means is man has spent thousands of years, invested loads of millions of dollars in doing something that God has done in your life already. Because the simple fact is, we have impetus, which is movement. And you also have in you the power to keep that movement going without any more power being added to it. Perpetual motion. Hello. I rest my case. Thank you, engineer. In other words, this power of the Holy Spirit, when the presence, the person of Christ, comes to live in a Christian's life, there's infinite power. To keep you moving for the rest of your life. Perpetual motion in you. Man, you are a museum piece. You are a formula waiting to happen. Just tell that person next to you, you look, no, don't do that. It's okay. Take that thought captive. Hallelujah. But this infinite means that it's perpetual, limitless power. Oh, that same power. Say same. That same power that rose Christ up from the grave, broke death, broke sickness, broke sin. Oh, that same power. Oh, hello. That same power is in the beginning in me. Infinite. How many of you have seen the cartoon version of Aladdin with Robin Williams as a genie? All right. Do you see him when he first arrives? He pops out of this thing. Well, he says, infinite power in a tiny little bottle. Do you remember that? That's you. Infinite power in an itsy-bitsy bottle. That's you. That's the Christ in you. That's this word, in the beginning God. Infinite power in a tiny little body. Look at that person next to you and say, you look powerful this morning. Try and do it with a straight face, all right? It's better. Next one is influential. This power, this impetus, this increase, this indisputable is influential. The one who's in you is master of all. Master universe. This one in you is authoritative. I believe God wants to release us this morning in authority. At the beginning, when Karen was doing a great job leading us through, we got to that point where she just felt, right, start to move some mountains. I believe for those of us that knew we had influential power within us, we did. For those of us that didn't realise it, maybe we didn't, but we're about to. Because there's only two things you do with a mountain. One is climb it, the other one's move it. You either climb it or move it. And in a moment, as we rise up and begin to use this impetus, use this influence, mountains are going to move. Mountains are going to move because the one who lives in us and dwells in us is going to release his influence through our lives. Next one is informed. You might not think this. This might not be your first response when you wake up out of the spirit of duvet every morning and wipe the sleepy dust out of your eyes and look at the mirror. You may not think this, but actually you are one of the most informed people on the earth. Doesn't mean that maybe you're the most intelligent, but you are the most informed. Doesn't necessarily mean you're the most intellectual, but you are the most informed in the sense that the Word of God who lives in you will tell you what to do and how to do it. He'll tell you what's going to happen down the road. He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you what to believe for. He'll tell you what to avoid. So we're informed. He'll say, this is the way walking it, or don't go that way, you idiot, it's this way. See, it's either our way or it's Yahweh. And he'll tell us Yahweh. Clap then, that wasn't that good. So we are very informed people. Turn to that person next to you and say, you look very informed. Means that we're expert. There's an expert who lives in us. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He's reliable. Amen. Thank you, David. Ingenious. Amen. Jesus is ingenious. He's brilliant. He's inventive. He's got a fertile mind and a creative spirit. And in the beginning, he lives in us. Sometimes I hear people say, I'm really bored. That's the soul. I don't know what to do. That's the soul. Because within you is someone very ingenious. He'll come up with some ideas. He'll give you something to do. Give you some thoughts. Give you a study to do, give you a word to do, give you something to go and meet, give you something to go and do. I don't believe boredom is a kingdom thing. I think being ingenious is a kingdom thing. Whatever I turn my hand to, bless the work of my hand, not just the thought of it. Now, how many of you know that as a congregation here, we need your help? We need your ingenuity. Some of you are saying, yeah, you don't know what it is yet. How many of you know that there is not a chair fairy? Some of you think there is. Okay. There is not a chair fairy. All these chairs that you're sitting on, somebody puts them out. There is not a carpet fairy called Madam Hoover who just floats and goes, Or maybe, oh, I don't know. No, there isn't. Okay, not in here, there isn't. There's nobody that floats and goes, But the carpet, miraculously, is clean every time we come in. How does it happen? If you have kids, you know that gets asked, doesn't it? Your kids wake up and say, how did it happen? I don't know. Did you do it? No, it must have been the chair fairy. Must have been the washing up fairy. I believe God is saying to us, we need to use our ingenuity a little bit more. Is that okay? None of the other leaders are here, so they can shoot me when they're back. But we need your help. From September, we're all going to get involved. We've got to get involved because we need your ingenuity. We need your creativity. We need people to come and make the place great, smell great, look great, sound great. Because God is a great God. We need some guys to come and clean the toilets because we don't have a toilet fairy. They left. They were looking a bit flushed, so we sacked them. Now that was good. Okay. All this stuff needs happening. So we want to use your ingenuity. Some of you might be great at cleaning the loos. Me, it drives me around the bend. Next one. Inhabit. Jesus inhabits. He lives with, resides with. I love it that Jesus is not a tenant. As a Christian, Jesus lives, dwells, inhabits. When I begin to sing and praise, man, he inhabits more, not less. Even if our voice is rubbish. When we begin to just praise God, God inhabits more, not less. He's not there thinking, oh, when's this guy going to shut up? No, it's like, God, that's brilliant. Come on, have a go. I love your heart. I love your spirit. And don't worry, I've got ear defenders on. In a sense that something incredible happens between your mouth and his hearing, it changes. But this Christ who lives in us, in the beginning God, there is something he wants to inhabit today. I don't even know where the presence of God is. There's freedom, there's health, there's life, there's vitality, there's energy. Let's move on to the next one. Inseparable. This is Jesus. This is what being a Christian's like. Look, Christ, you can't get a bit of paper between his life and yours. Inseparable. What does that mean, devoted and intimate? And the Bible says that even before we know Christ, God knows us through and through. I was encouraged by the bloke that had the healing for his receding hair because it means God's got a bit more work to do tomorrow than he had yesterday because he counts the number of hairs on your head every day. So praise God. Whoever that is, pray for me later. Hallelujah. But stop it. Jesus is inseparable. He is totally devoted and very intimate with those he's made. I love that. How many of you love that? Are you still with me? Yeah. You're getting warm. Yeah. Excellent. I thought it was just me. Insight. Jesus has tremendous insight. He's always aware. He always perceives. This word that lives in the beginning, that lives in us, this life, this light has insight. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I might know you. Brilliant. What a cry that we need to create in our heart. Let me tell you, as we begin to develop our ingenuity, and we begin to release this impetus, people that don't see church like you do, are we going to get to see it like you do? People who don't see Christ like you do, are we going to see him like we do? Because I believe part of how God displays this insight, this awareness and this perception is through the church today. It's not about, let's see it on the telly, let's read it in a book. No, Jesus says, you go and do greater things than I've done, and then they'll see it. You believe me like I believe my Father who sent me, and someone will perceive something. You love on someone like I've loved on someone, and people are going to see something. Insight. I believe when Jesus said to us, we're to be a light on the hill, it was to give people insight. In the workplace, in the home, in the marketplace, in the schools, in the colleges, people are looking at you saying, there's a good field, there's a good life, let's go and have a look. Do you know light attracts? It's cool, isn't it? Insight. Next one is instructive. I love this one as well. This word, this Jesus who lives in a Christian's life will teach, train and mentor you for the rest of your life. I love it that Jesus doesn't just watch on the sidelines, he gets involved. He teaches us kind of the rules of how to live as a kingdom. They're called kingdom principles, sowing, reaping, giving, receiving. He teaches us how to trust, how to hear God, how to read the Bible, how to hear God speak to us out of black and white so it becomes like technicolor in our life. He teaches us how to love those that are easy to love and love those that are really hard to love. He instructs us. That's the Christ who lives in us. Are you still with me this morning?
Yes.
Brilliant. Next one is ensure. He guarantees. He guarantees. He guarantees every word, every action that he's done. He guarantees who he is. When you become a Christian and receive the power of God, the Bible says it's a guarantee of what you will get one day. Jesus is a great guarantee. You can bank on Jesus. If our field has a guarantee around it, you can guarantee there's going to be fruit comes out of it. There's going to be life comes out of it. There's going to be infection comes out of it. The next one is intact. Jesus doesn't want to break our lives up. He wants to make us whole and complete. Intact, complete, whole, defined, formed. Hallelujah. Jesus, one of the things that was said about Jesus, and he explained why it was said about him, he says, I don't come and break bruised reeds. I come and fix them. What use is a bruised reed in those days? Nothing. You could just burn it. You couldn't make anything to contain anything with it or give structure to it because it was all wobbly. Jesus says, I'm not like that. I deal with wobbly people. I make them straight. I give them some definition. I make them strong. And a smouldering wick, I won't snuff out. What does that mean? Just on the ebb of it, when your last puff of life is about to go, when you've tried everything and it's about to go dark, he'll come round there with his hands and he'll blow on it. Come on. He won't snuff out a smouldering wick. I think it was Wesley or Wigglesworth or one of the Wuz said, God's got loads of oil. He's just looking for some wicks to burn. It's true. When you become a Christian, it's like the wick of our life, the thing that gives us passion to do stuff. He mentors it. He teaches and trains it. He makes it glow like a furnace in life. Until what? Until we're intact, complete, perfect. We're all writing all these down. These are quite good, aren't they? James, we're still flowing. Next one, integral. Jesus is involved in every part of life. Not just the spiritual bit, not just the churchy bit, but all of it. Integral, everything. Integrity. Honest, pure, intentional. Jesus does everything on purpose. And he always does it with a plan. See, there's a challenge, I think, to most people, particularly to Christians sometimes, is we get a handle on Jeremiah says, God knows the plans he has for you. Yeah, you all know that one? I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord. Well, the next part of it is, but if you ask me what it is, I'll tell you what it is. And I think we need to get hold of that in a new way. It's great to know that there is someone who's got a plan. But I think what is powerful is that the person with the plan will tell you what it is if you ask him. I think that's good, Johanna. That's great, isn't it? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Ask of me, inquire of me, or ask me, and I'll tell you what you don't already know. That's intentional. Jesus has a plan for your life. Everybody under the sound of my voice, everybody on the stream, Jesus has a tremendous plan for you. It's perfect, it's flawless, it's faultless. It will never be thwarted. All we need to do is ask for the glory of God to be revealed in that way. Interesting. I hope this is interesting. Absorbing, gripping. Jesus is gripping. Man, it's awesome when you just wake up and you feel the hand of God in your heart. It's going pump, pump, pump around your heart. Ooh, like that. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know why it has to do that? Because the heart is a muscle and we need to exercise our muscle. The Bible says that faith is expressed out of the heart. And this is kind of what I've been spending the last 20 minutes talking about, as I'm trying to get your heart a little bit pumped. Because heart is a muscle, and we need to exercise the muscle of our faith. Hallelujah, for the glory of God. Intentional, it's interesting, absorbing, gripping, intimate. Jesus is always near and is always up close and personal. I don't know, maybe there's some of you here, I think maybe one or two of you are, you've been going through a valley, and let me tell you, a valley with shadows in it, a shadow never killed anybody. It can look really scary. The walls can look massive. It's like, where's the other end? But let me tell you, because of his intimacy, Jesus will not allow people to walk through a valley of shadow of death on their own, but he's always there. It might seem as if your whole world, your whole planet is closing in around you, but let me tell you, the one who was in the beginning, the intimate one, is in there right in the center of it with you. He's not just there to look, he's there to change something. He's not just there to observe, he's there to produce something. Hallelujah for the glory of God. And then the last one I have on here, and there were loads more, but I thought you might get a bit sleepy by now. Give yourself a shake. Or I can come and do it. No, give yourself a shake. Give yourself a shake. Go on. You look really funny. Thank you. The last one, involved. Committed and connected. Those of you that were at Faith Camp, and certainly from Faith Camp, more and more and more aware as a church, we're going to realise just how many hundreds, thousands of people are connected to what is in our lives here. The spirit, the faith, the expression of that, how we go about things, how we believe God to do certain things, how we're reaching out into our towns, our communities. There are thousands of people already connected to this church. Thousands. You may never meet them. You may never ever get to know who they are, but they're connected to you. What is going to begin to happen is as we continue to move forward in this new land, this new territory, as we begin to sing over it, people are going to not just be connected to the life here, they're going to get switched onto it in a whole new way. I said they're going to get switched onto it in a whole new way. How do you switch yourself on to that which you're connected to? You plug yourself in. How do you plug yourself in? You make a choice. How do you make a choice? We do it all the time. How many of you want to get healed in the next couple of minutes? Just stand up. Just close your eyes. The rest of you, it all goes dark. It's fine. You see, I believe Christ came to break the power of sickness, not one day, but yesterday. I believe Christ came to break the power of infirmity, not one day, but yesterday. I believe Christ came to make health and life available. He's already done that. When he went to the cross, he says he made a demonstration of every sickness, every infirmity, every disease, every complaint, every illness. And he said, if that's the best you can do, watch me do something else. And as Jesus' blood was shed, he got involved. As Jesus' blood was shed, he began to initiate something. As Jesus' blood was shed, he began to infect something. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we break every spirit of infirmity, every power of sickness. We break it right now. We declare that your power is broken. Your influence is broken. Your reach has been broken. We curse every condition in the bodies represented here. We say you must reverse, you must leave these bodies in Jesus' name. And we want to thank you right now that in Christ Jesus is life and health. And right now, I speak life to every person standing up right now. I speak this infectious disease called life. We loose that life right now over you. We speak health to your bones, particularly in your bone area. We just speak loose. Those joints be loose, be released. Come against every restriction, every infection, every inflammation. You have no place there. That's not where you're supposed to be in. You're out. What is in is life and health and freedom in the name of Jesus. Speak right now to these perpetual migraines. We break those right now of people. You're not supposed to be in. You're out of those. Father, I want to thank you that you bring correct chemical balance back into people's brains, into their whole area of their head. Father, we speak freedom right now over you in Jesus' name. Father, we just declare the blood of Jesus breaks every sickness, every power, every authority right now. We separate these people right now from sickness. It is not their sickness, it's yours, and you've dealt with it, Jesus, and I thank you right now. Praise your name. Let's just all stand up, shall we? Let's all stand up. Let's just lift up our hands unto the Lord. I don't know, there's some people here, you've come for the first time, you've come for the second time. I've come here for the first time today. We're all here for the first time today. Hello, join my club, it's brilliant. But I know that Jesus came for you. Whether you're here for the first time, whether you're here for the 100th time, whether you just dropped in, popped in, or fell in, you're in. And this whole message is about Jesus wanting to be in. Jesus is here for you this morning. Those of you on the stream, you might just have found us by mistake. Maybe you found us on purpose. I really don't know, but you're in. You're involved. You're included. Today's a day of salvation. Today's a day when God wants to reveal his Son, Jesus Christ, and to change our lives eternally, totally, so that they can never be changed back. Maybe everything that I've been saying, it's just kind of bounced off the skin of your thinking and the way that you've just lived. Well, let me tell you, you owe me something now. You've heard it now. The Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides. You might not have understood what I'm saying, but let me tell you, God understands you. You might not have made any sense of it, all the stuff that I've been talking about, but let me tell you, God wants to make sense of it to you through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So with every eye closed, Father, I just want to thank you right now that you speak into every heart. You just bear witness. You just say yes to the Word in people's spirit right now. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was life, and the Word was light, and the Word made, and the Word created, and the Word gave testimony, and the Word was sent. And the Word is full of life, that the Word is inseparable, the Word is instructive, the Word is intact, your Word is integral. Holy Spirit, bear witness to this Word right now. And Father, where you find a heart that doesn't belong to you right now, Father, speak into that heart, I pray. That Jesus, you're alive, you're living, you're a real person, you're a Savior. You can change your life forever. You can give a hope which will never fade. You can give a future which can never be stolen. You can totally, utterly break everything that's tried to steal from those people's lives today. I want to thank you that you want to live inside those people. So, Father, I pray right now that by your Spirit, you move right across this house. You move over the stream across the nations. Holy Spirit, you are the one that speaks to people's hearts, and you're the one that convinces and convicts men of their need for a Savior. We release you right now over this entire house, over the stream, over the nations, that right now, Holy Spirit, you're speaking, you're bearing witness to the truth that Jesus came, he died, he rose again, and he reigns again in glory, and he is saving people today. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and if there's anybody in this house right now under the sound of my voice, that you just feel something is a bit strange on the inside of you, something speaking to you, it's like it doesn't make sense, but it does, you can't understand it, but you do, then I'd love to speak to you straight after we're done here. Because Jesus is alive and he's here for you this morning. He wants to change your world, turn your world totally upside down, then come and live in you forever. Let's just lift up our hands to the Lord, shall we? All over this place. As I was kind of praying early this morning, I just felt the Lord say, we've already seen some people healed. This is brilliant. But I just believe God wants to discharge us, if you would, on this Sunday. That we know we're a sent people. We're a sent people. I know some of us might have thought, well, I've come to church, or I'm going to church, or whatever. But today, more than any other day, afresh, God wants you to know that when you leave here, you're sent. There's a world out there, there's people out there, there's situations out there where this Christ, this God who lives in you, he wants to express himself. He wants to reveal himself. He wants to touch lives, change lives. He wants to get involved. He wants to inhabit. He wants to bring impetus. He wants to be ingenious. He wants to be infectious. Father, I want to thank you for the sending anointing upon this house. That you send us into the workplaces, into the marketplaces. That you send us with a passion and with a purpose. I thank you that you send us to streets and towns and houses and cities with a passion and with a purpose. I thank you that you send us to this generation with a passion and with a purpose. I thank you that you send us to our neighbours, to our relatives with a passion and with a purpose. I thank you that you send us into society with a passion and a purpose, because you're alive, you live in our lives, and we thank you and we praise your awesome name right now. Let's just give him a great big shout of praise. Oh, hallelujah. We praise your name, oh God. Oh, Jesus, you're awesome. Praise you. And don't forget, you owe me now. In 7 days' time, I know, I am confident of this. He who has started a good work in us. I'm confident. As it says in Mark, that stalk will grow, then the head, then the full head. Next week, going to have hundreds of stories. Loads of orange cards. Are you happy? Why don't you give the Lord a great big shout of praise? Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we exalt your name. We praise your awesome name. You are invincible. Incredible.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.